All right. Good evening. I know you can do better than that. Good evening. Very good. It's good to be here. Thank the Lord for this opportunity to preach tonight. Thank the Lord for our pastor. And as a youth director, I'm thankful for the pastor that has a desire to see young people serving the Lord. And it's exciting knowing that our pastor has a desire, he and his wife, to go on this mission trip every year. And it's exciting to see how God blesses this trip every single year. Every time we go on a mission trip like this, the circumstances are completely different. Where we stay, the churches we serve in, a lot of things we don't know until we get there. But it's exciting seeing how God blesses, how God's hand just moves through the whole thing. And here in just a moment, we'll share a slideshow with you. If you'd like to go ahead and drop the screen, we can get ready for that. Again, over the past few years, we take our teens on a mission trip. This is something that our teenagers work towards. This is something that's just not a, okay, you've got money, you're going kind of thing. No, our teenagers through the whole school year are working towards this trip. Through our truth program on Sunday nights. And I'll be honest with you, this truth program is not just about a mission trip, but it's about developing a devotional life in the hearts of these teenagers. And it's exciting seeing how many of our teens have carried through the summertime with their devotions, with scripture memory and all these things. And I'll be honest with you, as a teenager, I did not have a strong devotional life. My devotional life basically did not exist until I got to Bible college. So it's exciting seeing teenagers getting involved in God's Word, reading God's Word every day, witnessing to others. Every other week, we typically have soul winning on Saturdays, and it's exciting seeing teenagers come out, knocking doors, boldly approaching some of these doors and telling people about Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that opportunity and what He's doing through this truth program and through these mission trips. This year, we had the privilege to go to Seven Fields, Pennsylvania. Anybody ever been to Seven Fields, Pennsylvania? Teenagers, of course, right? Good. It's about 30 minutes from Pittsburgh. Had a great trip on the way there, and it's amazing how when you begin a trip like this, when you're planning and all these things and everything starts to come together, it's amazing how Satan tries to throw in a wrench into your plans every once in a while. For example, when we were getting ready to leave Friday morning, we got into the people mover, got into the van, everybody's loaded up, ready to go, and I forget who was driving the van, but we go to turn it on and not exactly the best way to start a trip like this. Ended up getting a jump started, got to Pennsylvania. Later in the trip, about halfway through the week, Mr. Bear had to replace the alternator. By the way, quite the mechanic. It's amazing how God puts just the right people in the right circumstances to help in things like this. But I thank him and some of the other men that helped take care of this situation. But again, God blessed through this whole trip. We went to help Pastor Nathan Snowd. He's been there for, I think, about a year. But as far as the church doors have only been open for about 2 months. Pastor Snowd and I went to college together. He was in my dorm my freshman year at Crown. And what an outstanding young preacher, and doing a great job as a young pastor. And it's exciting seeing how God is using he and his family there in Cranberry, Pennsylvania. He's got his work cut out for him. Honestly, a very cold-hearted people in that area. A number of doors slammed in the faces of our teenagers. A lot of people saying, get out of here, I don't want that. He's got his work cut out for him, and God's blessing him. I talked to him a couple weeks ago. They had about, the week after we were there, that next Sunday morning, they had about 20-some visitors. And I believe that was a result of our teenagers out knocking doors, passing out over 4,000 pieces of gospel literature. And I commend you all for doing that. And those of you who worked hard to earn the points, thank you for that. In fact, at this time, if you went on the mission trip, whether teenager or adult, if you wouldn't mind to stand at this time just so people can see who you are, and they'll get to see some pictures here in just a minute. Very good. And I appreciate you working hard. Adults, I thank you for your sacrifices. Thank you. You may be seated. And again, thank the Lord for our pastor going on this trip and allowing us to go. And so on and so forth. At this time, we'll go ahead and take a look at the slideshow. We've got some pictures, several different things we had the opportunity to do. On Saturday, we got to attend a youth rally at Harvest Baptist Church. Pastor Kurt Skelly is the pastor there, and so you'll see some activities and things from that. We got to pull some weeds, clean up a playground a little bit. We got to run a vacation Bible school and all that kind of thing. So enjoy the slideshow here. Thank you.
Wonder why I do what I do and why I have given. to serving Jesus and doing his will, working for him day and night. Well, I can't explain it, it's simple but true, and it started not too long ago. 'Cause when God made a change, he made a difference, placed his love deep in my soul.
A love down deep in my heart makes me want to shout and sing. A peace that only the presence of Jesus can bring.
A joy that's bubbling up ever since I made my new start.
And it makes me want to tell everybody I see about this love down deep in my heart.
Though I am not fit to be a servant, Jesus has made me an heir to an eternal kingdom way up in heaven. God has gone now to prepare. That's why I'll serve him while there is still time before the day comes to depart. And what keeps me going and so determined is this love down deep in my heart.
A love down deep in my heart makes me want to shout and sing. A peace that only the presence of Jesus can bring.
A joy that's bubbling up ever since I made my new start.
And it makes me want to tell everybody I see about this love down deep in my heart.
Yes, it
makes me want to tell everybody I see
about this love
that's down deep
in my heart.
In my heart.
I have a feeling in my soul
since the Savior made me whole.
My soul,
I'm trusting Jesus every day, for I know I'm on my way,
way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just the way down deep in my soul,
down in
my soul,
I'll sing
and pray
till Christ
shall come to take me with him to stay, then I'll be going to that home. Nevermore from him to roam.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just the way down deep in my soul.
The light of heaven I now can see,
for he came and set me free.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just the way down deep in my soul. I know there's glory to behold, for I feel it in my soul.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just the way down deep in my soul.
Down in
my soul.
I'll sing
and pray
till Christ
shall come
to take me with him to stay.
Then I'll be going to that home, nevermore from him to roam.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just the way down deep in my soul.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just the way down deep in my soul, way down deep in my soul.
Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and he showed me I was wrong, and he placed me on the winning side. Well, I'm
on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have
fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in him so often I confide.
Well, he's the keeper of my soul, since I gave him full control,
and he placed me on the winning side.
Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side.
Out in sin no more will I abide.
I've enlisted in the fight.
For the cause of truth and right.
Praise the Lord,
I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue, thank you, Lord. For the sparrow that sings, it makes sweet melody, for the rivers that flow, the rain and the snow, thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me.
Plenty to eat, thank you, Lord. For the church where I worship and pray, for the freedoms that I have today, sweet Spirit, I feel your presence so real, thank you, Lord.
For being a friend so
all right. Hope you enjoyed that. How in the world did we get so many pictures of that little boy on there? I don't know how it happened. I don't know. By the way, that the one onesie he was wearing, that was Ohio State, just to clear that up for some of you who might have thought that was a T on there. It was an O, so just want to clear that up for you. Again, we had a great time on the trip. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Teenagers, again, I commend you for your hard work leading up to the trip, your hard work on the trip, and your hard work here in Bible school this week. It's exciting seeing God using teenagers to reach souls for Christ. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin reading here in just a minute. Again, thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. Thank God most of all for saving me. At a young age, 8 years old, I trust the Lord as my Savior. Thank God for my family, my wife, my son. It's exciting. I can't believe how fast he's growing. And he says Dada now. Now I don't know if you know who if he knows who Dada is, but he says it, so that's enough for me. What a blessing! I hope you'll pray for us. Pray that God would help us to rear him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach him biblical principles. Teach him why we come to church. All these things, big responsibility, and I know that. I know so many of you have done very well with your children, and I commend you for that. Again, I hope you pray for us. Luke chapter 18, and we'll begin reading here in just a minute, verse number 35. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. Just want to share a brief thought with you tonight, something the Lord spoke to me about in my devotions a couple weeks ago. I've read through this story a number of times, the story of the blind man. But God revealed something to me that I've not necessarily noticed before. Not that it's new at all. There's nothing new under the sun. But God revealed this to me, and I kept reading it and reading it and reading it. And the Lord really used this to encourage me and to challenge my life at the same time. Luke chapter 18, verse 35, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like for you to look in verse number 35. Take a look at one portion of Scripture, in particular one phrase. And that phrase is, a certain blind man. A certain blind man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. We thank you for a country where we can serve you freely. Father, we're thankful that we have a copy of your word. God, we're thankful that you send your son to die on the cross for us. God, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and legs to walk, things that we often take for granted. God, I thank you that we're not in the hospital right now. We're not born in some third world country. Lord, we just want to take time to thank you for how good you've been to us. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. And God, help us as we think about this certain blind man, to think about those in our lives who are blind without Christ on their way to hell. God, use us in a mighty way. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is one of the many miracles that Jesus Christ performed while on this earth, robed in flesh without ceasing to be God. What a wonderful story of the mercy and grace of God throughout this story here, speaking about the blind man. Let's take a look again in verse number 35. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." This meeting was not a coincidence. It's amazing how oftentimes throughout the ministry, while Jesus Christ was on this earth, throughout his earthly ministry, how, yes, he would cater to the multitudes, he would speak to the multitudes, but he would go out of his way oftentimes for an individual. And that speaks numbers about our Lord and Savior and thinking about how he went out of his way and went to the cross for each and every one of us. He died for us. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died, he was buried, he rose again on the third day, and thank God for that. But this meeting was not a coincidence. This was truly a divine appointment planned by God. This was the last opportunity this man had to receive his sight, because this was the last time Christ passed through Jericho. If you look later in the book of Luke, chapter number 19, we see Jesus Christ nearing Jerusalem, where roughly a week and a half from this particular scene here, he was crucified. This was the last time this blind man had an opportunity to receive his sight. Had this man missed his opportunity, his life would have gone on as normal, sitting, begging, sitting and begging, sitting and begging. What he's done for many, many years up to this point, all he could do is sit and beg. He was blind, he was poor, he had absolutely nothing. He was at the wit's end in his life, at the end of his life. And again, had this particular scenario not taken place, he would be simply sitting there begging for the rest of his life until he took his last breath and stepped out into eternity. But this was not a normal day. It's amazing how the scene changes anytime Jesus Christ steps on the scene. It's amazing if you look all throughout the words of Scripture, how you see oftentimes somebody who is either lame on their feet. You think about the man named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth had no hope for his life. He told the king, he said, "Why lookest thou on me, such a dead dog as I am?" He was nothing. But God cared about that nothing. God cared about that one individual, and he sent someone to help him. But it's amazing how a lot of times you'll see a scenario of someone who is helpless, and then Jesus comes on the scene. Think about your life. Think about how before you got saved, how you were spiritually blind, just like this certain blind man. But then Jesus came. But then somebody told you about Jesus Christ. But then your Sunday school teacher told you about Jesus Christ. But then that bus captain came to your door. But then your mom and dad shared with you from the Bible how you could be saved. What a wonderful thing that is, thinking about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. thank God for parents that raised me up in a godly home. Teenagers, don't you dare take that for granted. Don't you dare take that for granted. You've got a church where you can come and serve God, worship Him. Don't take that for granted. Listen, our church is not perfect. Look at our pastor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Our church is not perfect. But listen, we've got a diamond in the rough here, folks. What a wonderful place. My wife and I talk all the time. What a blessing it is being under pastor's ministry. What a blessing it was for the couple months. Hope I didn't break that. Being under Preacher Lastly's ministry. Seeing how God's hand has been in this church. Don't take that for granted, folks. Don't take it for granted. God has truly been good to us. But again, think about the person that brought Jesus to you. Think about the person who told you about Jesus Christ. Think about maybe that gospel tract that somebody left in that spot that you picked up and read, whatever the case may be. Never forget what the Lord's done for you. Again, had this man missed his opportunity, his life would have gone on as normal, sitting, begging, dying on his way to hell. But Jesus came on the scene. You know, there's another scenario within the same chapter of a man who had an opportunity as well, but he neglected that opportunity. The story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler had anything he wanted. He had all this stuff. He had things and everything. And he came to Jesus Christ and was asking him questions. And he knew all the right questions to ask. And he had the right answers and all this kind of stuff. Until it came to the point where Jesus Christ told him to get rid of his stuff, give it to the poor, and serve him. That man left. You never see him again on the pages of Scripture. Did he get saved? We don't know. I'd venture to say probably not, because he was clinging to those riches. Instead of clinging to Jesus Christ, instead of trusting Him as His personal Savior, he was clinging to things of this world, which eventually burn up and obviously did not last. Take a look in verse number 36. The Bible says, "And hearing the multitude pass by, He asked what it meant." Verse 37, "And they told Him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And He cried, saying, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Question for you. Who told the blind man? This is the one thought that God really brought out in my life and kept bringing back in my memory. Who told the blind man? Yes, he was blind, he was poor, he was helpless, he was hopeless. Jesus came on the scene, he was healed of his blindness, all this kind of stuff. But who told the blind man? He couldn't see. He heard all these people going somewhere. A multitude of people were passing by, the Bible says. But who reached out, saw that blind man, and told him? You know, he was inquisitive at this time. Obviously, not having one of his senses, he asked a question. He said, "What's going on? Somebody here? Should I be aware of something? What's going on?" Somebody told him, "Jesus is here." Jesus was passing through Jericho. You know what? Had those people, and the Bible refers to them as they, had those people not taken the time to tell that man, "Hey, Jesus is here," he might have never received his sight. He might have never had a chance to spend time with Jesus, to be saved. Think about this. How many times in my life do I walk past a certain blind man because I've got things to do? How many times do I walk past a certain blind man because I've got priorities that I think are top priorities, which really aren't at all? I'm not necessarily talking about somebody sitting on the side of the street begging, although that does happen quite often. But how about the person at the gas station that's at the pump across from you, and the Holy Spirit's just tugging at your heart, "Give him a gospel track, give him a gospel track." And my pride says, "No, no." That certain blind man needs me to tell them about Jesus Christ. Or how about at Walmart, getting ready to check out? Holy Spirit starts tugging at your heart. Give that cashier a gospel track. Talk to him about the Lord. Tell him what God's done for your life. Our pride says, "No. What do they think about me?" It doesn't matter what they think about you. It matters what God thinks about your life. Think about it. Are you one of the they's that reaches out to the blind man? Had it not been for the theys, he would have never heard. He would have never seen. Take a look again back at verse number 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but cried out so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto them. You know, I can't help but think, those people that didn't tell him what was going on, those people that saw the blind beggar and just walked right by, I can't help but think, you wonder, while Jesus is standing there amongst these people, could it be, as Pastor says many times, I can't prove it, you can't disprove it, so we'll move on, right? Could it be that as these people were standing around, Jesus Christ is ministering to this multitude, those people that walked by that blind man completely ignored him, could it be that Jesus Christ looked those very same people in the face and said, you, I hear somebody calling, why don't you go get him? That'd make you a little nervous, right? Yes, Lord. What blind man? Trying to think, where's he at? They saw him. They knew who he was. They went before, rebuked him, that he should hold his peace, but cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto them. Those who rebuked him were commanded to go get him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou I should do unto thee? Now, obviously, we know the Son of God knew this man's need. He knew that he was blind. He knew he needed sight, but he was wanting to hear it from this man's own lips. Christ knew, and he wanted to see his faith. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And the Bible says, and immediately. You know, it's interesting. If you're looking for a word study to do sometime, study the word immediately all throughout Scripture. Whenever Jesus Christ performed a miracle, a lot of times the Bible says immediately that particular thing happened. Immediately he received his sight. Immediately he stood up and walked. What a great word study that is. But he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. What can we learn through this whole thing? I'm almost finished, but I hope you'll cling to some of these thoughts from God's Word. What can we take from this whole thing? Think about it. Who's the certain blind man in your life right now? Is it a coworker? Maybe somebody at school? Let me give you a challenge tonight. How many of you are willing to take a challenge tonight? Be careful what you raise your hand to, right? Let me challenge you with something my youth pastor challenged us to do. When I was in the youth department, a lot of times he would preach about looking for that individual, looking for that person who might be the quote-unquote loner. He challenged us as teenagers in our high schools, in our middle schools, to go to school. Now, obviously, I know you're not in school right now, but whenever school starts back up, teenagers want to challenge you to do this, and many of you have challenged you to do this before. But go to your school, and he said, when you get your lunch, went through the lunch line, you've got your lunch, instead of going sitting with all your friends, find that one person sitting by themselves. Find that person who might not have any friends. Find that person who might be considered the loner in your school. Sit with them. Befriend them a little bit. Get to know them. Get to know their name. Get to know what kind of hobbies they like. And you know what? God might actually open up an opportunity for you to share the gospel with that person. How about this? When you go to work tomorrow, men, ladies, if you eat lunch at work or whatever the case is, maybe someone that's got a cubicle next to you, whatever the case may be, look for that person that's kind of by themselves. That person that maybe everybody else kind of might make fun of at work. That person that kind of gets picked on a lot. You be the person to reach out to them. You be one of the theys that reaches out to that certain blind man. Listen, I'm asking God to use this in my life as well. I'm asking God to say, God, please help me not to be spiritually blind and not look for these people, but help me to look for souls in need of salvation. God, help my pride not to get in the way. Help my selfishness not to get in the way. Help my busy plans not to get in the way. But God, help me to be one of the theys that reaches a certain blind man. Let me give you an illustration. Back to the mission trip. There's one day on Thursday. Like I said, we're about 30 minutes from Pittsburgh. We typically do a sightseeing day each time we go, just to kind of see the area and all that kind of thing. We were driving to Pittsburgh, and we got into downtown, and thankfully there wasn't a whole lot of traffic at all. But we're driving through Pittsburgh looking for a parking space. We had planned to get on the subway, take the subway through the city, go to the Incline Railway, take that up so you can get kind of an aerial view of the city. Saw some pictures there, and then eat lunch up there and all that kind of thing. As we were driving through the city, we had a couple vehicles going through downtown Pittsburgh. One of the vehicles got a little close to the curb. You know what happened? Boom! Tire on the back went out. Again, not one of those things you exactly plan on a trip like this. I'm thinking, okay, there's how many teenagers on there? I'm thinking, what can we do next? What's going on? Everybody's fine. There's still another tire on there. Everything's okay. Where are we going to put everybody while we get the tire fixed? Who's going to fix the tire? All this kind of stuff. Thousands of thoughts that are running through my mind right now. Like I said, not exactly something that you plan for. So we ended up getting into a parking lot. Everybody got on the subway. A couple of our men stayed back and we called somebody that came and fixed it, all this kind of thing. Again, something we did not plan. Just went on with the rest of our plans. They called, ended up getting it fixed and all this kind of stuff. On our way back, after we ate lunch, after we came off the Incline Railway, all this kind of thing, there was a man. One of our ladies gave him a gospel tract. That man, if I remember correctly, he was on one of the cars, one of the Incline Railway cars that was coming down. That man got off the car, went about his business, went down to the down by the subway station where we just so happened to be. Coincidence? No. Divine appointment? Probably, yes. This man was sitting there waiting for his bus. We were all waiting for our subway car to come and all this kind of thing. This man was sitting there waiting for his bus. Somebody noticed him. I don't know if Pastor, maybe Pastor Snowden noticed him, but Pastor and Pastor Snowden had a chance to go speak to him and to verbally give him the gospel along with that gospel tract. Did that man get saved right then? Not that we know of. But a seed was planted in that blind man's heart. Now let's back up a little bit. Could it be that tire blew out just so that man could receive a gospel tract just at the right time and hear about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You know what? God works in mysterious ways. His ways are past finding out, the Bible says. I truly believe that was a divine appointment. Had that tire not blown, we wouldn't have been delayed that certain amount of time, might not have ever seen that man, he might have never received a gospel tract and had a chance to trust the Lord as his Savior. Folks, may God help us to never look past those divine appointments in life. Again, when we first realized, hey, the tire's blown, we've got to go on to plan B, were we happy about that? No, I was a little frustrated. But God had a plan. When Jesus stepped on the scene, something changed. The gospel was planted in that man's heart. I pray, and we prayed for him. We pray that the Lord would trust, that the Lord would save his soul. But listen, don't look past those divine appointments in life. Ask God to help you to be a they. The Bible says they told him that Jesus was passing by. Who? A certain blind man. Who is the certain blind man in your life right now? Again, it could be a coworker, could be somebody at your school, somebody on your ball team, somebody that you see every single day, whatever the case is. Ask God to help you, and I'm asking God to help me. God, help me not to look past the blind man. For I once was lost, but now I see. Think about the amazing grace that God has bestowed upon your life. Think about how Jesus loved you so much and died for you. Look for the certain blind man. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who is the blind man in your life today, folks? I've got people running through my mind right now. I've got a neighbor across the street who, as far as I know, he does not know Jesus Christ as a Savior. Who's going to reach that man? It is my responsibility to reach him. Shame on me if I push that responsibility off on somebody else and say, somebody else will reach that blind man and be like one of those people that just walks right by, thinking I'm doing good service because I'm going to see Jesus, but neglecting somebody who truly needs Jesus. Again, maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's somebody in your school. Maybe it's somebody you play on a team with. Maybe it's a family member. Could it be a neighbor? Who is the certain blind man in your life? May God help us.
Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I don't know how God is speaking to you, but this is the heartbeat of this church that Brother Bob preached on tonight. Don't ever take it for granted. As a matter of fact, if you're seated there, just lift your eyes just a moment and look at me. We're going to have our invitation here in just a minute. I don't need to add anything, but here's what the Lord was beginning to speak to me about. I was thinking about Mr. Searcy as I'm sitting right there listening to the sermon. Mr. Searcy is right at the brink of death. Mr. Searcy's not able to eat, that we understand. He's not able to drink. He can't even take water right now. He knows Jesus, but he can't get out of the house right now. He can't get out of the bed, I don't think. I may have some of these things mistaken. Barring a miracle, his days of going out and finding blind men are over. And as you was preaching, the Lord was dealing with my heart right there. What if I'm Mr. Searcy? What if I'm on the brink of death? What will I wish I'd done when you no longer can do the things you can now? And one of those things should be, I wish I'd have told more blind people about a Savior who can give them their sight. The Lord speaks in different ways. Why he laid Mr. Searcy on my heart, I don't know, but that's how he's dealing with me. How's he dealing with you? Let me ask you this. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Are you, yes or no, friends? Aren't you glad somebody was a they in your life? The greatest thing we can do with our life is just be a they, an unnamed nobody that simply tells people his name is Jesus. Let's forget the silliness, the pettiness. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's do business with the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, help us now. May the will of God be done. I pray for teenagers to get under the burden of being a soul winner. I pray for our adults. I pray for myself, Lord, that you'll burden my heart more than it already is. Help us to see the seriousness of this. Help us to understand that our life is short. And I pray you give us boldness to tell people about you. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We're not going to have you stand. Just remain seated. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. And as he sings, if God is speaking to you, why don't you leave your place and come? Why don't some people say, hey, I want to be part of they. I want to be part of the they who tell people just, hey, his name is Jesus. As Brother Gary sings, come on, folks, let's talk to God. Some of you teenagers, get out of your seat. Come get on your face and ask God to help you be the soul winner that God wants you to be. As Brother Gary sings, come on now, talk to God about it. Here we go.
Hear my Savior calling.
Talk to the Lord. Talk to God.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling, take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads with
playing through softly, folks have responded. I believe I'm right by saying this. I may have the name wrong, but I believe it was William Booth who basically said that he wished that he could open the portals of hell and hold his workers over the open pit for 5 minutes. Let them hear the screams, sense the pain. And after 5 minutes, they'd never have to preach on soul winning again. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe there's a burning hell under your feet? Do you really believe there's a place called the lake of fire that awaits those that do not know Jesus? Before you answer that question, how many gospel tracts did you give out last week? How many people did you tell about the Lord? Heaven is real. Jesus Christ is great. He's a wonderful Savior. Hell is burning hot, and it awaits those who don't know Him as Savior. What a privilege we have of telling others about Jesus Christ. Gary's going to sing the next verse. If God's speaking to you, you respond. Would you do it as
where
he sings? Come on.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With
Father, we love you tonight and thank you for this message. Thank you for they who told the certain blind man about Jesus passing by. And I pray that you'll challenge our hearts. I pray for Mr. Searcy tonight, Lord, that you'll wrap your arms around him. Bless his dear wife. Thank you for the many years that you've given him. I pray, Lord, for the surgery that will take place in the morning. I ask that you'll guide the doctor's hands, that you'll touch, Lord God, the doctors as they perform surgery on this one in our church in the morning. Would you bless him, I pray. And I pray you keep your hand upon this place. Keep the devil out of it. May the will of God be done, accomplished, finished, settled here. Guide, lead, and direct us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me remind you, Wednesday night service moved to Tuesday night, 7 o'clock this week. If you have a dessert or plan on bringing an ice cream to the social, if you'll sign up. Everybody going to Chili, if you'll go immediately down to the Blue Room, that'll be great. God bless you, folks. You're dismissed. See you Tuesday night. Please make a special note of it.